I am so excited about Christmas because every time I think about it, I think about what Jesus has done for me and what he's done for my family and what he is doing in people's lives all around the world. I'm excited that you're here to celebrate Christmas with us. You guys are looking good. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking fly this morning. Go ahead. Do it. You won't. Yeah, you're looking good. You're looking all dapper in your Christmas best. I love it. I'm excited that you're here. I'm excited that we get to talk about Jesus and celebrate him this morning. And I'm excited that we get to open up God's word this morning as we look a little bit at this Christmas story and why it's so very impactful for every single one of us, even if maybe you don't even realize it yet. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you actually to stand back up. And we're going to read this passage together as we get started. We're going to get right into Scripture this morning. And I want us to read this together, if you would. And I really want you to just imagine yourself in the situation that we're about to read. Put your mind in the frame of, this is where I was or would have been if I was in this scenario. Let's check this out. It says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Luke 2, 1 through 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it can pierce right down to our very heart and soul. God, it can change us. God, I thank you for the Christmas story, that it is still powerful 2,000 years later, just as powerful as it was then. So today, as we open your word, as we discover your truth for our lives today, I pray that we would leave this place changed by it, that we would never encounter your word without being changed. God, I thank you that we have an opportunity to be in a free country where we can talk about this anytime we want. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for Jesus and the joy that he brings into our lives. May you be glorified in this moment. It's in Jesus' perfect name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You can go ahead and grab a seat. You know, as a parent, you get to encounter some pretty funny things. Things that you would never encounter when you're not a parent. And I haven't been a parent for that long, about a year and a half. But there are certain things that when you become a parent, you find yourself saying and doing that you would never in a million years find yourself saying and doing. Like, no, it's not okay to use your fart as a weapon. That's generally frowned upon. People don't usually like that very much. Or please, stop licking your friends. Those are actual words that I've had to say before. Never in a million years would I think I'd be saying those words. There are certain things that you find yourself doing that you never guessed in a million years you would be doing, like movies, for instance. You know, when you're single or it's just you and your honey and you want to go see a movie, what do? You go see whatever movie you want. It's awesome. It's the greatest thing ever. Like, I'd be going to see some action movie with lots of explosions and all kinds of cool CGI, but not when you become a parent. No. No, a couple of weeks ago, over the Thanksgiving holiday, we went to see Frozen 2. Oh, it was awesome. And I was so excited to go see it. I thought, this is going to be the best 90-minute siesta of my life. But a funny thing happened. It was actually pretty good. What? Yeah, it was pretty good. Like, it had action. There was like this dramatic component to it. It had all kinds of, you know, great storyline. There was music, which is unfortunately still being sung in my house every single day. I can't get it out of my head. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not the greatest holiday movie that's ever been. Die Hard. Don't at me, okay? But it was pretty good. It was pretty good. And my point to that is this, that sometimes what you expect doesn't happen. That sometimes our expectations are actually met or exceeded. Sometimes it's actually better than what we thought it was going to be. Maybe you found yourself saying this at some point in your life. I'm not a mind reader, but I bet that you have. This is not what I expected. This is not what I expected. Like, you're on a road trip and you get hungry, but you're in the middle of nowhere and you stop into some hole in the wall, greasy spoon, and you think this is going to be terrible. And you walk out and it's like, I just had the greatest burger of my life. Unexpected. This was unexpected. I was not ready for this. And it works the opposite way too sometimes, doesn't it? Like when you got married to your sweetheart and everything was just going to be perfect and so blissful and you were just going to have happiness in your life every single day. And then 6 months down the road or 6 days, he never picks up his socks. And every time she takes a shower, there's so much hair in the drain, I need a backhoe to get it out. Where does all that hair come from? This is not what I expected. Or you went to see Frozen 2 and you liked it. Don't lie. You're in church now. You liked it. Right? This was not what I expected. You see, expectations are incredibly, incredibly powerful. And there's this thing that I'm going to call the expectation principle. I'm not sure if this is a real thing or not. If it's not, I'm going to trademark it. I'm sure somebody else said it though. But there's a principle about expectation, and it goes like this. If your expectations are met, you are satisfied. If your expectations aren't met, you are disappointed. And if your expectations are exceeded, then you are elated. There's this joy, right? You get excited when something happens that you didn't expect, especially if it's something good. The same is true in the reverse. When you expect something and it doesn't happen, it doesn't go the way that you planned, there's this disappointment, right? Sometimes there's even a frustration and an anger that comes along with that. Expectations are so incredibly powerful. And the truth is, I think for most of us, let's be honest for a second here, that a lot of times what we expect to get out of an experience, it doesn't exceed it. For me, most of the time, it either meets it or it just comes up short. But every now and then, there is something, there is a circumstance, maybe it's a person, maybe it's some event, where you walk away from that thing and you go, this was not what I expected. This was so unexpected. It was better than I expected. And that's what I want to take just a couple of minutes on this Christmas 2019 to talk about. When the unexpected is better than you expected. You see, for thousands of years, there were these people, these Jewish people, these Israelites, who were God's chosen people. And God appointed them to be his voice to the world, to tell the world about who he really is, to share God with creation. But along the way, they got kind of lost and messed up. They started doing some things that didn't jive with who God was. They started making some decisions that were destructive to themselves and other people. And as a result, this thing, sin, entered the world and it began to destroy and eventually would cause death. And the cool thing about God, the amazing thing about God to me is that he didn't leave them like that. He came up with a plan. In fact, he had a plan before they ever did what they did because he knew that this was what they would do. He came up with a plan to redeem them. And so for hundreds of years, there was talk of this Messiah, this king that would one day come and redeem these people. You see, they'd been through a lot. They had lost their kingdom. All of the kings that they had were long gone. And they were waiting for this new king that would restore them to power in the world the way that they once were. They thought they were going to get this king that would come, be a warrior, you know, like Rambo with the bandana and his big gun, right? Come and take over, put them back into power. But something very unexpected happened. The king, the Messiah, came in a very, very unexpected way. And what I want you to hear more than anything today is that, yeah, he came in an unexpected way. He did unexpected things, but it's so much better than we could have ever expected or imagined. You see, he came in an unexpected way. He came as a baby, a helpless baby boy, born to two people that had no business being the parents of a king. This guy by the name of Joseph and a teenage girl named Mary. Nobodies from nowhere. Not only did he come in an unexpected way, he came in an unexpected place. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in the city of Jerusalem, the main city, the metropolis of the people. No, it says that he was born in this little town of Bethlehem. It says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Don't miss the significance of this here. He wasn't born in Jerusalem. He wasn't born in a kingdom or a palace. He was born in the little, tiny shepherd's town of Bethlehem. And this is so significant because if we understand the prophecies that were said about who this Messiah would be, it said that he would come from the line of David, King David, and he would be born in the town where David was born and grew up. That's not where Joseph was when this census was about to take place. He was living in Nazareth. And so he was forced to go back to Galilee or back to Bethlehem in order to have Jesus for this birth to occur. That's so significant. Don't miss that. It's proof of the prophecy. There's no way that Joseph and Mary could have orchestrated that, not in a million years. And yet there they were. They found themselves in this little town in such an unexpected way. Not only was Jesus born in an unexpected town, he was born in the most unusual, unexpected place. In a cave placed in a feeding trough. This is what Luke 2:7 says. It says, she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. They showed up to Bethlehem. They went to the Motel 6 and there weren't any rooms. And so they found this cave. They got this feeding trough from an animal, cleaned it out. I'm sure it was all nasty and dirty. And they laid Jesus in the feeding trough. It's not the way that you would expect a king to come into the world. Pretty humble. Not only did he come in an expected way, with expected people in an unexpected place, but he came to unexpected, it was announced to unexpected people. See, there were these shepherds nearby. It says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Luke 2, 8 through 10. Again, don't miss the significance of this. Jesus' birth wasn't announced to the kingdom. He wasn't held up like Simba over the whole kingdom for all to see. No. A few lowly shepherds, that's who encountered Jesus for the very first time. And again, don't miss this. This is so important. Shepherds, they were the lowly in society. They were not the people that you would have expected. The wealthy, the people in power. It was one of the dirtiest, most disrespected jobs that there was. But again, don't miss this. One day, Jesus would become the good shepherd. He would become the shepherd of his sheep, of his own flock. Us, you and me, those of us who call Jesus Savior and Lord. There's incredible significance to that. But then, for the next 30 years, he would go on to live a totally unexpected life. He would grow up in this town of Nazareth. He'd become a carpenter like his father, worked his hands to the bone, splintered and worn and beaten up. He didn't grow up in a palace, that's for sure. He grew up as a peasant. He spent his time out in the hot sun, slaving away day after day, sawing and sanding and building. It wasn't the life of a king. That's for sure. Not only was it not the life of a king, it's not the life of the King of Kings, right? I mean, this just doesn't make any sense. Then got even more unexpected. See, for the next 3 years, he spent 30 years being a carpenter, and then for the next 3 years of his life, till it came to an end, he spent his time with the most unexpected people. See, when he began his ministry, he didn't go to the religious leaders and recruit them to be his boys, to be his disciples. No, he went and he found a bunch of teenage dudes, fishermen, tax collectors. One of them would end up being a traitor. And he discipled them. He spent time with them. He welcomed them into his presence in the most unexpected way. He taught them what it means to be a follower of him. Not the people that you would expect. Not only that, but he spent the majority of his time with people who were low in society, people who were despised. He spent time with adulterers and prostitutes and people who lied and cheated and stole. He spent time with people that you would never expect a king to spend time with. No, you're the king. You're supposed to be spending time with the royal people, with the people who are clean, not the people who are dirty. Not Jesus. Everything about his life was so unexpected. And then, after just 3 short years of ministry, he died the most unexpected death you can imagine. It wasn't a king's death. There weren't crowds and crowds of people who came to his tomb and celebrated him. No, it was a criminal's death on a cross in the most brutal and horrific way that you can think of to die. That's how Jesus left this world, at least for a moment. He was mocked. He was spit on. He was ridiculed. They put a crown of thorns on his head. He was beaten within an inch of his life. He was put on a cross. And then he was buried. Why? Why did they do it? Well, why did they put him on the cross? Why would they put this king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I believe one reason and one reason only. They were so fixated on what they thought Jesus was supposed to be that they missed the fact that he was so much better than their expectations. You see, they thought that Jesus was going to ride in triumphantly, conquer the world, put them back in power, give them what they wanted in this life. And when Jesus didn't give that to them, they crucified him. And what they didn't understand was that Jesus came to bring something so much better than what they expected and what they really wanted. You see, they wanted a king to establish their kingdom on this earth. They wanted a kingdom that was going to last just for this lifetime. Jesus came, though, not just to set up a kingdom for them. He came to set up a kingdom for all people. He didn't just come to set up a kingdom for the good people, for the people who have it all together or who think they have it all together. He came for the people who were imperfect and blemished and broken and hurting and destitute. Those are the people that Jesus came for. He came for all people. For people like me, who so desperately needed him. And what I don't want you to miss today is this, that he came for you. He came for you. He has a desire to redeem you, not condemn you. He wants to restore you. And so today, I don't know what your expectations of God are. Maybe for the longest time you thought, God doesn't love me. He doesn't care about me. He's not interested in me. All he wants to do is condemn me. All he wants to do is set up a bunch of rules that I have to follow. He wants to steal all of my fun. He doesn't want me to have a better life. See, maybe the most unexpected thing of all about Jesus is that we're still talking about him 2,000 years later. And maybe you've never thought about this before, but I think about it all the time. Here's a man who lived in obscurity for 30 years of his life. And then for three short years, I mean think about how fast 3 years goes by. For three short years, he performed miracles, he healed people, he taught people, and then just as quickly as he came on the scene, he was dead and gone. Why are we still talking about this man 2,000 years later? Why? Because the reality is, we shouldn't be. He should have been written out of the pages of history. We shouldn't still be talking about him today. If he was just some man, if he was just some guy. And yet here we are 2,000 years later. There are more books written about Jesus Christ than all of the other books combined. The reason we're still talking about Jesus is because he didn't stay dead. He rose. He came back to life. He proved once and for all that he is God, that he is the Messiah, that he is who he says he is. In the most unexpected way, he came back to life to bring us back to life. And no matter what we've done, no matter what we've been through, no matter how bad we think we are, Jesus says, I love you, and I came for you. And so here's my question on this Christmas. If you've never trusted in Christ, if you've never put your faith in Jesus alone as your Savior, would you consider just for a moment this unexpected King who came in such a humble way to show us what God is really like. He is a humble king. He is selfless and he is loving. And he desires for you to experience him in his fullness. That's what Christmas is all about. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you hope and a future. He wants to make your marriage better. He wants to make you a better parent. He wants to make you better at relationships. He wants to make you better with your finances. He wants to give you peace in the midst of storms and challenges and things that you go through every single day. And no, he's not going to make your life perfect. No, he might not give you everything that you thought you wanted. But here's what I promise you. What he offers is better than you expected. And the truth is, it's better than we deserve. And all I want you to hear today, if you don't know Jesus, is this. He loves you, and if you would just give him a chance, he will change everything for you. It just takes one simple step. Jesus, I admit that I need you. I admit that I've got some things, some sin in my life that I can't overcome on my own, and I need you. I need your grace and your mercy and your love in my life to overcome those things. Will you help me? I will follow you. I want to make you my king. I want to make you my Lord. That's it. And if you have been a follower of Jesus for a while, here's what I want to remind you of this Christmas. Never lose your awe and wonder for this unexpected king who came into this world to do unexpected things for you and for me, to redeem us, to bring us hope. And so, as we close out this talk this morning, we're going to sing a song here in a second. Oh, holy night. And what a holy night it was when Jesus came. He came in the most unexpected way. He came for the most unexpected people to show us this unexpected God. And I believe this with all my heart. He wants to do something unexpected in you. And so this Christmas, whatever it is, maybe your marriage is falling apart. Maybe you've got an addiction that you can't conquer. Maybe you're dealing with identity issues. Maybe you've got a past that you just can't seem to get past. Maybe you're broken today. As we sing these last few songs, as we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, would you lay those things at his feet? Would you come to him and receive the peace that he offers? It's not maybe what you expected, but I'm telling you, it's better. One holy night, he came for us. It changed everything.